Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
And Happy New Year to our two lovely brothers, our boxing brothers, Sean and Tony. How are you, boys?
Good, mate.
All the better for seeing you.
Lovely to have you back.
He's lying.
Here, isn't it? How was Christmas?
It was sound. I ate a little bit too much. I overindulged. What I think everyone does in the festive spirit.
So did you enjoy Christmas?
No, bad humbug. I actually didn't, because I look at my bank
account. What was Christmas
account.
Lunch? Because you remember we discussed this.
Yeah, what did he have? Chinese? It was gorgeous. Absolutely, honest to God, I'm not going to advertise, but I went for the Chinese, and it was unreal.
You had a Chinese banquet?
Oh, it was unreal, I swear. It was the
on Christmas Day lunch?
Christmas Day. Christmas Eve, I didn't go till the night time, so it was...
Were you the only person in the Chinese takeaway?
No, it was even.
No, I bet your Chinese don't even eat Chinese on Christmas Day. I bet they have a roast dinner.
The tables were full of Chinese people. It unreal. It was the nicest Chinese I've ever had.
And then just Tony sat there like a Grinch.
A big bulldog.
it's Christmas time, so spending time with your family and the people that mean something to you. I love all that side of it, but it's just the spending the dough that just gets dearer and dearer every year when you've got two kids.
Well, a man like yourself, Tony, you can afford it.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Sean, how was your Christmas? Did you have to watch the calories?
Not really, no, because I didn't have
a date.
There's no date, I hear Tommy Coyle was crying on Twitter saying, I've watched me weight over Christmas, I haven't had a drop of sherry, and I've no date, no nothing. And I was dying to tweet and say, well, I've had a big Christmas dinner, load of dessert.
And you know what, all the fighters kids. As well, that would touch a nerve.
Yeah,
it would.
And I thought, nah. But yeah, I had Christmas dinner, went to see the family. Went to my dad's in the morning, then went to my ma's for dinner. Mm. Last year, we done it the other way around. Went to my ma's, then went for my dad's for dinner. So we've had...
That's what you got to do. It's like my mum and dad are separated, and you have to give a little bit of time to both, otherwise they feel left out.
Well, it's nice, and it's good for the kids, because we say to them, come on, we'll go to granddad's and see. I'm sure he's been on the phone, said there's presents here off Santa for you, and you go there, they're made up, just to see the granddad anyway. And the nans, and then we'll go to nannies and granddads, and they love it, don't they? Getting about and seeing presents here, they're everywhere, and you can enjoy, the food.
Oh, bless you. Look at you both. The funny thing with boxing and Christmas is there never seems to be any at Christmas, does there? Like, most sports continue, football, cricket's always on. Boxing always takes a little bit of a step back, doesn't it? For the 2 weeks of Christmas, you don't really see too much.
No, so it should though as well. They try and get a show in, don't they, just before Christmas sometimes.
One mid-December, and then all of a sudden that blank period, and obviously we're into January now. So there's always a bit of a layoff, isn't it? Do you get off your phone?
It's rare you see one in January, but you see end of February, maybe early March, you'll see a show put on, but other than that...
February, at the end of February, it's normally the first one, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've had a few fights, a lot of my fights were in January, I had a few times when Christmas, for me, was just miserable, hated it.
Promoters didn't like
Tony.
But listen,
at the end of the day, that's the sport we chose, that's, me being a firefighter now, I'm going to have to wait Christmas Day.
Well,
do we?
In the last 5 years, or maybe more, I've only had two Christmases. Well, I've been able to enjoy Christmas dinner.
In a weird way, though, Mash, wouldn't you say it makes the win more satisfying?
Yeah, of course.
It does. For it them does. Sacrifices that you make, it makes the whole picture just so much better.
The
so
defeat,
much
mo- the defeat
so much
worse,
more
but the win more satisfying.
Exactly, more satisfying. Yeah. But then again, a defeat's only a bad thing if you don't learn from it.
Yeah.
It's not bad
it's,
to lose.
No, it's a lesson. You learn loads
You've
from it.
You've got to learn. A lot of people, this is where, when things like that happen, it's how you judge the character of a person, whether he's going to make it or he's not.
One of my favourite Christmas dinners days was when we were in Auntie Dishy's. She had a pub, the Saw Gormassy, and she's a big massive pub and the family is massive, so she set it out like a King Arthur's table, and all the family were all there. And my granddad was sitting right at the top, weren't he? And she'd come out with all the trays of meat and stuff. But I was in camp training at the time. So my granddad's got me to sit next to him, hasn't he? So I'm sitting next to my granddad and all the meats are all coming out. But I get to really nitpick and just have bits of veg here and there. And I couldn't really enjoy it. And I'll never forget that, because I enjoyed sitting with my granddad at the top table, because I was getting daggers off all the family because he wanted me sitting next to him. But I couldn't really enjoy the meal. you know, and the food, because I was in camp training, and that was when I was amateur, and that was for an ABAs, which we did, we went on and won. But, you know, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, I was in the gym training. The pipes and everything had frozen up. Trodden went down there and the pipes had frozen up and the pipes had split, but the water was frozen, but joined it in between. So we went to get went to go and get someone, or you know, to the plumber to have a little look at him. When we come back, the ice had thawed out and the gym was covered like a swimming pool. We spent the morning before we started training mopping up and bucketing the water out, and then done our training session.
That's what you got to do.
One of your favourite Christmases.
I used to train in Flanagan's gym at the back of by the Royal Lake, yeah. When I first turned pro with him, and I swear to God, the rats were felt at home in the gym. There was no, like, there was boards on the windows.
Rats
were
squatting.
There was no heating in there. It was I'm honest, you had to wear your thermal coat to even feel a tad warm while you were training. It was unreal. But I character is like the Rocky thing. To the
they're
gym.
Not luxurious, these
no,
gyms,
they're not.
Are they?
No, you get, listen, the gym is what you make of it. You can spend billions of pounds on whatever sort of kit you want in the gym. Mm. But it's what you do in the gym that matters. Mm. You've got to have that in there, in your heart, to basically push yourself. It's not about what's in the gym, it's about what's in you and what you're going to put into it.
Yeah, I like that. I go into our gym there, and Danny and Sean, they've sort of moved me into the back bit now, because obviously I spend that much time, you know, talking to people and doing kids' raps and stuff like that. They're like, you know, come on, train. And I'm like, you know, but I can't just say no to someone. So they've moved me into the back, out the way, so I can get changed, get ready, and then once I'm ready, I can come out and see people. But in that back bit, It's like a freezer. It's ice cold, and I love it, because you get in, it's that cold, and you're getting ready, and you're like, whoa, and it just gives you that little bit between your teeth, just as that Rocky feeling.
That's a bit more energy. Yeah. Right, 2018. What do we want to see in 2018 on the boxing scene? What is it you are really looking forward to, both personally and sort of wider, in a wider professional sense? Mm. So personally, we'll start with you, Sean.
Oh, no, I'm too excited. I'm going to get a new car today. So
yes! Did you pass your test?
Yeah,
yes,
man.
Yes, my good lad. Yes. Remind me to stay off the road.
Yeah, it's good, man. Good,
do you
man.
Know what? He took his test.
He told me when it was on the day of the show. The last show.
Yeah, yeah. I did, you know. I didn't tell you.
And I'm only just hearing about it now that he passed. Well done, lad.
Thanks, mate. Good, yeah. Yeah, you know me. I'm quite reserved. No, it was easy. I flew through it. Honest, I did. The way Tommy Quirk prepared me was unbelievable, and he kept saying to me, "It'll take, you'll fly through it, it'll feel like you're in it for 10 minutes," and it literally was. I remember coming heading back, and I'm thinking, "Am I heading back here?" And I was, and it was over, and I was like, "Wow!" And it felt like I was in the car for 5 minutes.
Good
well
on
done,
you.
Mash. Well
good
done.
On
that's
you.
I remember that,
right. Okay. Apart from passing your driving test, 2018 will hold what for you?
Whatever comes, I'm taking.
Come on, what are you expecting?
You just need to get that Lonsdale belt and then move on to the international stage. That, for me, would be my plan for you. International stage, and you know...
What's your manager said to you?
Well, we talked the Tommy Coyle fight. We phoned Tommy Coyle up as well. Tried to get him on the phone, but he missed the call. So there was talks of Tommy Coyle fight. There was talks of Richard.
Okay, we don't
want
to hear about talks. We want to hear about what's the plan, what you want to happen.
Well, there's no plan, you know what I mean? Like,
no, in your mind, you must have a vision of where you want to be at the end of this year.
I would love. Do you know what I thought would be good is me and Tommy, because Tommy Coyle was talking about fighting Richard. So I was like, well, let's fight Tommy Coyle. The winner of that goes and fights Richard, which would be me. So fight Tommy, beat Tommy.
Confidence.
Go and fight Richard, get the British, what's deserved ours, and then move on then to European.
Right.
So that would be my plan.
You could achieve that in how quickly?
Yeah,
are we talking 6, 7
months?
No, you could
do it in 12. You could do that within, like, what, 10 to 12 months?
Right.
Because don't forget, these are 12-round fights. The camps that take it out of us.
Yeah.
You know, probably, if it was a 6-rounder, you could fight every 6 weeks.
You're fighting March. What, how do the months work?
February, March, and then June, then June, then June, then June, possibly.
June, maybe, June, July, August.
And then September.
August,
and then because there's a summer break.
Yeah, something like that.
September, and then possibly the end of the year, December, you know, the big one for the British title.
Yeah, and then enjoy Christmas.
That'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
you'd
be half.
British champion by the end of 2018.
Not half.
Be that class.
That'd be nice. It would, and do you know what? Who's to say it won't happen?
Were you not involved in some sort of tweet link with Eddie Hearn the other week on some sort of conversation about this?
Yeah, there was Tommy Coyle asking for what's his name? Curtis Woodhouse was calling Tommy.
I spoke to Curtis the other day. He's a friend of mine, Curtis.
Yeah, Tommy said, you're not worth me time. He said, I want big fights, and that's Dodd, O'Hara Davies, or Ritson. And then Eddie said, you can fight O'Hara Davies on the 3rd of February, or you can have Ritson or Dodd.
You know what? Do us a favour, boys, on a personal note. Don't even mention his name.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I totally forgot.
Don't even talk about it. Don't even mention his name.
Yeah.
So that's the plan for you. All right. On a wider scene, what do you want to see on the boxing circuit this year?
Big fight. I mean, I'd like to see Callum
what
Smith.
Are the big fights?
I'd love to see Callum Smith.
Joshua and Wilder for me.
No, Joshua and Fury. I'd love that's what.
Oh, yeah.
Joshua and Fury. That's like a massive fight. Don't get me wrong. I'd love Tyson because I think Tyson's good for the sport, even though in the past he's been a little bit of a divvy.
Do you know what would be a great fight? Fury and Wilder.
I think Fury just outboxes him. You know, I think Wilder's too ragged. Okay, he's got dynamite in his hands. Without doubt, he hits you, putting you the kip. But he's made so many novice mistakes. For a WBC champion to be so raw, he's very lucky to be a champion. He's very lucky that he's not much talent. Well, he is talent.
He's a dangerous man, mate.
But yeah, exactly. He's dangerous, but he avoids...
How can he avoid that when he's WBC?
Yeah, but look at the fighters who he's beat to win that belt.
I think people are avoiding him.
No, I do.
Do you not think that's a criticism that shouldn't be aimed at you if you are WBC champion?
Yeah.
You know, if you were WBC champion, you would hate it if people were saying, well, look at who he fought to get the belt.
I think he's avoided massively.
You know, if you're going to take that route and only fight them people, no, he's been offered fights against the top boys.
You're either world champion or you're not.
Exactly.
Steve.
Yeah, but that's how you like to see it. That's not how it is. Politics and money play a massive part in who you fight.
He might have been offered money, but he can say, wait there, I'm king of the world. I want more. Why not? He demanded it. Okay, he's the real champ.
People that know boxing want to see him against quality opposition now he's not fighting.
You're not even in boxing anymore, you're a fire man.
To be honest, I'm still training, I'm still ticking over. On a serious note, for this year for me, I like to get one more fight in and then close the page. And, you know, we'll start in August for the fire service. That's what I'd like to happen. Have one more fight and then say to
that. I can't take him serious.
Do you see how you put Wilder down and then he put you down and called you a fireman?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Just threw a bucket of water over him. I killed him down, Tony.
Right, so we've done the heavyweights. What about Callum Smith?
Yeah, I'd love him to do that, to win the tournament, you know what I mean? It'll be a massive feat against.
Is it significant, the tournament?
Yeah, of course it is. They are all the top boys. They are the top boys in the super middleweight division. Not like Wilder avoiding everybody in his division. These are the top guys.
Right.
And if he comes through that, what a...
Yeah, that is a big
that's
thing.
A life, that's like a once-in-a-lifetime thing, to have all them top lads in the one tournament and to come out the other end and be champions.
He's set up for life as well.
Financially, yeah.
So good on him. I hope he does.
Come on, Callum, lad.
I think he will do it now. He's got Bramer. He'll beat Bramer and then the other two.
Bramer's no mug, you know. He's a southpaw. He can whack.
He's tough, experienced.
Listen, he's older now, so that'll work.
That's what I mean. I think the youth's going to do it.
I mean, listen, I've said it before.
And the skill set as well.
He knocked Ricky Hatton out in Blackpool when we were kids.
That was years ago.
I'm saying he can whack. That's what I'm saying. He's dangerous.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? And he's been a top world level
as
for the last
say,
five, you,
your punch is
years.
The last thing to leave you.
Of course. So I think Callum has got a brilliant boxing brain, and so has Joe Gallagher and his brothers, you know, with the experience that he's got behind them. I think he'll know the risks. He'll know every step and every movement Brain is going to make. So I think he'll address that punch and, you know, make it win against them.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.